This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Susanna Constantine, and this is my wardrobe malfunction and part two of my chat with eyewear god Tom Davis. So let's grab the handles, open my wardrobe doors, and find out what's inside. I've never lost, touch wood, a pair of your glasses, but inside the arm, I've got my email address, so if they ever got lost, they'll find me. I mean, it's just attention to detail like that. Those little details are so fantastic.
I had a guy from Brentford Football Club come in yesterday, and he says, I'm really sorry, Tom, because this puppy had chewed his glasses to pieces, and he just needed some new arms, so the front was fine. He's like really humble, oh, look, sorry to him. I said, yeah, no problem, I'll get it fixed. And I gave him somebody, we put new arms on, and I lasered on the inside a little message, John, keep these fuckers away from puppies. And I didn't tell him, I just gave them to him, and I'm just waiting for him to like see it, you know, and laugh or something, you know, just like, he'll read that the next day or so.
Darling, is there anyone who you would like to make glasses for who you haven't made glasses for yet?
Absolutely. If anybody's listening to this, I've got to be direct about this. This is an opportunity. I need to make glasses for the future King of England. I'm not talking about Prince Charles. I like Prince Charles. I'm talking about William. This is a guy who is quite stylishly dressed these days, except for his eyewear. When I've seen him in his glasses in the paper and things like that, I cringe. And I think the future king should be wearing beautiful, handcrafted British glasses that make him look and feel amazing. You know, this is an opportunity for him to, you know, to. I think I could do a lot for his image, but also what an honour it'd be to make glasses for the king. I just think there's not many, I can't think of anyone else in the whole world, actually, that I would like to make glasses for more. No, there isn't anybody. That's it. I have a list, but there's no point in talking about it. It's just that I'm focused completely on somehow, some way, I'm waiting for the call, because you don't do things like this for free. You know, it's like people, you know, lots of famous people wear my glasses, but they tend to just come shopping. Mm. So I'm just kind of waiting for the royal moment, you know, when he comes knocking on my door.
I think it would make a big difference. He could do with a pair of glasses. And it's especially someone in that position, you're meeting people all the time, because glasses can give you a form of protection as well.
It's like my comfort blanket.
They disguise quite a lot.
You talk about that on your podcast with people, and a good pair of glasses is like the ultimate comfort. It's like a barrier, it's a protection, it's a shield, it's a, you know, it dresses you up, it hides. It's like, you know, it's like putting on a good pair of sunglasses. You can't walk around your sunglasses all the time. That's why pop stars all wear the sunglasses inside, because they're so exposed that they, you know, you think they're being arrogant. But in actual fact, the psychology about wearing sunglasses indoors, it's a lot about, you know, give me some space, give me some protection. And that's what I think glasses do. They sort of, is a comfort. It's definitely a comfort, a good pair of glasses. But only when you've got it right. Because as I say, if you get your glasses wrong, you'll hate them. But you get it right, it's just the best thing you could, is your number one accessory.
I love that you're so passionate about your own brand and what you do, and that's why you're so successful, Tom. But let's get on to clothes for a second, like properly, because last time I saw you, I have to take you shopping, because you look like you've got these beautiful glasses now, thank God, a good haircut. But we need to sort your clothes out, because they're all a bit wrinkly, aren't they? You love a bit of linen. So we need to get you looking a bit sharper.
It's a lot better than it used to be. I can tell you that for nothing.
Okay. So tell me what your wardrobe malfunction is. What is your worst wardrobe malfunction?
I was invited to my best friend's wedding, and she wrote it was an Indian summer. And my wife went in a nice sort of floaty wedding dress, which was fine. But I thought Indian summer meant it was just because it was in the middle of summer, and it was just to be a little bit, you know, I don't know, like a nice, you know, nice wedding. She might be dressed in an Indian summer or whatever, but it turned out to, so I went in my normal sort of suit, which was a pretty much a boring banker suit, and everybody at the wedding was wearing Bollywood outfits. And I was the only, and I got there and I thought, well, look at, they've misunderstood the brief, look at that. And then as I Payne became aware that I was literally like the twat who was wearing a pinstriped banker suit. But I'd forgotten that. That was my wife's version of my wardrobe malfunction. My real one was the moment I realised I had to dress well. It was there was this very specific moment. I'd never really considered it, that it was a point. I was so obsessed with glasses when I started the business. I never really took my own image as a priority for business. It was always like buying this machine, opening this store, doing things. And like, I forgot that, you know, the brand's under my name, I am the brand. And it was early on, probably about 2009, 2010, I was in a trade show in Paris. And I liked being on my trade show, big stand, your name on it, it's all very nice for you. And everyone there buying your glasses. And there's, you know, I don't know, 70, 80 people on the stand all buying glasses. And I was overheard a conversation between an optician and one of my salesmen. And they said, oh, where's your designer? And the salesman pointed over at me. And this lady went, what, that's your designer? And I was shocked. It hurt my, it was like overhearing something you shouldn't overhear. You know what it's like? But it was, and I looked down, and I was actually wearing the suit I got married in because I thought it was a nice suit. It was my most expensive thing I'd ever bought. But it was too big for me and out of fashion. And I looked back at photos from the event afterwards, and I realized I looked like a banker, not a designer. And nothing wrong with bankers, but I didn't even look like a good banker. I was really badly tailored and I looked terrible. And I thought, I've got to up my game. And at that moment, I transformed. And I'm delighted to hear that you want to take me shopping. But I thought I was quite well dressed until that moment.
But it was only the last time I came in to see you, and you were wearing that jacket, and it was very creased. That's all. But you do. I love the way you dress. It's very complimentary to your figure. You wear quite tight-fitting clothes, which is really nice, very simple, well-cut, but we still need to go shopping. Okay, one of my favourite writers, who's better known as an actress, is Carrie Fisher. And she's a devoted fan, was a devoted fan of yours.
Carrie. She was my best customer for 3 years running globally, but I actually sort of discovered that after the fact she died, because I never looked at it like that. She came into my store, just walked in to buy some glasses, and my store manager called me, Tom, Carrie Fisher just come in the store, because he knows I'm a Star Wars fan. And it's literally, like, the phone was still dangling in the air as I rushed off to jump in a cab and get to the store. I got in the store and I met with Carrie, and I did my sort of routine and told her what I wanted to do and how to do it. And she announced there, and then she says, Tom, you are Mr. Fisher. And I didn't quite get the meaning of that, but apparently it's a very rare thing she bestowed on people to make them Mr. Fisher. Literally after the consultation, she bought, I don't know, four or five frames of bespoke for her. She invited me back to her house. And I cooked her a curry. And, you know, because I don't go out for dinner. So I cooked her a curry. She'd never had a curry before, which was amazing. So I cooked her a curry. And we just chatted for hours and hours and hours. And from then on, it's like she kept coming in and kept buying glasses and kept, you know, coming to see me. And I was like, I didn't think of it like she was Carrie Fisher, because she didn't look like Carrie Fisher. I mean, she was a handsome lady. But Carrie Fisher in my head was, you know, in a metal bikini, swinging around in Star Wars. So it didn't sort of frighten me as her being this absolute megastar. I just got on really well with her, and she'd send me in customers. She got me invited on the Millennium Falcon and fulfilled my Star Wars ambitions and fantasies. But she was, she was just a genuinely funny, charismatic, in a way that when you're someone like that, you can only imagine. It's like a superhero skill she had to make you feel brilliant. And I was always wondering, why is she, I think because I don't know why she was friends with me, but You know, it was a surprise to me. We did get on really well. We just chatted for hours about nonsense, I was really sad when she died. But I've got some fabulous memories of her, and she actually took me to the Star Wars premiere as her date, and it was a funny thing because it was such a media circus at that time. This is The Force Awakens when it came out. It was such a media circus that you could have get out of the car. And it was like, I found the whole thing very unpleasant. Like, you think you dream of these things. You see the red carpet. I could see how distressed by the whole thing she was. And she was doing it. And I was with her. Walking down the carpet with her, and there's like the amount of photography, and I'm really easygoing, and I don't get intimidated very easily at all. But I was holding a dog at one point because like she asked me to, and she said, "Can I have Gary?" So I gave her Gary because she wanted the shielding of the dog from the press. And then Disney lovingly sort of decided that I should go to the green room where I chatted with David Cameron and whatnot. And so I left Carrie, and then I felt bad that I'd left Carrie, and I was at this thing talking to all these mega stars, and I said, I should tell you a funny story. It's totally nothing to do with glasses. It's just, I was in the green room, and it's literally the most famous room you've ever seen. And I went for a pee, and on my right was Mark Hamill having a pee. It's Luke Skywalker. And on my left was Simon Pegg. Washing his hands was George Lucas. Waiting for the urinal was Harrison Ford. I kid you not, right?
No.
So I'm standing there having a pee, and I looked to my left, I looked over my shoulder, and I just said out loud, I said, "This is the most famous piss I'm ever going to have." And and Simon Pegg laughed, right? And nobody else did at all. And I sort of, and I left, and I went and stood in the room, sort of stood there on my own, like with a glass of champagne. And I found the whole thing like very, it's a very weird experience. But anyway, Carrie never let me give her anything for free. And, you know, I wanted to because, you know, she was my friend now, and she, you know, I wanted to make her some stuff. No. So I decided I made her dog Gary a pair of sunglasses to say thank you. For taking me to the Star Wars premiere, and I think she was really touched by that. She's a little, you know, little cry. She says, you know, Tom, afterwards, because I was her official date, but she had two more dates as well. But I was the one, the red carpet one, and then there was five more semi dates, and then there's seven more people in her entourage. So she literally had a whole sort of motorcade of people, but I was at the front. But anyway, she says, Tom, you're the only person that got it. The only person that got it and understood, you know, I didn't need you lot there. I just did it because, and you're the only person that said thank you. It's a little bit like Willy Wonka and that boy giving the sweetie back or whatever, the ever-loving gobstopper. But, you know, I was really grateful for taking me there. And I made Gary the dog's glasses. And I tried really hard to make them out of edible material so he could eat them. But I couldn't do it. So anyway, cherry red glasses. They fit him really well, Gary the dog. And she gave me this... wonderful gift of a hologram of her feeding a disc into R2-D2. And
no.
I put it, and it's worth an absolute fortune. I put it in my store window. And I said to her afterwards, like, about 6 months later, I said, look, Carrie, this is too much, this gift. I mean, it's worth a fortune. I said, you know, do you want to take it with you? And she's back, and she says, oh, yeah. I'll do that. Are you sure? I says, no, you take it. It's like, you know, I didn't want to put it in my window anymore and like have it home. And it's just, I don't know, we're friends. So she rings me up at 1 o'clock in the morning and she says, I'm flying tomorrow at 10 o'clock to LA. I'd like to hand carry the hologram. And I got this guy who was driving around. I said, come to my house, get the keys, go to the store, get the hologram. Then take it to the firehouse, give it to Carrie Fisher. And it's the middle of the night, and this guy's like, yeah, okay. Comes, gets my keys, 2 a.m. 3 a.m, I get a phone call from the police. They've arrested a guy breaking into my store, stealing Carrie Fisher's hologram. And it was a long night, I could say. Anyway, she took the hologram back. And I got the guy unarrested, and I consequently removed myself from the police database for people to call when someone breaks into my shop.
So, oh my God.
It was just the longest night anyway. And it was just, you know, we literally got there. I'm like all disheveled and get to the firehouse at like 7:30 with a hologram. Here you go. I should have just bloody kept it.
Oh my God.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Love. So with your, you mentioned that, you know, glasses are your comfort blanket and they are mine too. But is there anything else? Is there anything else that you would, that makes you feel safe and secure that you wear everywhere? Or you take, let's say on a trip, or is there something you take?
Well, pre-COVID, I flew a lot. I mean, I'm, you know, I got 2 million air miles with British Airways, and I was literally on a long haul every month somewhere in the world, promoting the business, supply factories, media, whatever. And I've got it down to a fine art form, traveling, especially when it comes to clothes. And I have these Hugo Boss trousers that stretch so that they look good when you arrive anywhere. And I have a really nice cardigan, blah, 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 that I can zip up and down for aircon in and out of Asia, places like that. But I found a scarf to be, I've got a beautiful scarf, which I love wearing, especially on trips, because it's like, it's versatile. You can sleep on it. It makes you look glamorous, and you can look dressed up. And it's important, you know, without a coat, you just need that extra warmth, because you go in and out of aircon so much when you're flying around the world. But I stopped using it about 2 years ago, because time's going to like 5 years ago. I went to an event in Malaysia, and then I was going on to an event in Hong Kong. And I you probably know what this is like. I mean, for me, this was my one brush with a sort of celebrity culture that I totally have stepped away. I don't do this at all anymore if I can help it. But I arrived in Malaysia, and my agency there had like planned my entire trip for the time I was there, down to the last second. So I stepped the airplane in my stretchy trousers and my white top and my cardigan and my scarf. And I got to this event, and, you know, and it's, the scarf helps you look dressed up as well. So I get to this event, and there I had to take out, I was out for dinner with 25 people, and they made me give a speech, and everyone had a drink and toasted everybody, no problem. But I've already been traveling like 16 hours to get there, door to door. I was exhausted. The last thing I want to do is do this big dinner. 7 o'clock in the morning, they had me on a TV show. 11 o'clock, I was on a radio show. 3 o'clock, I was doing training session for 150 opticians. 7 p.m., I was creating a fashion show and giving media interviews. And the same day, pretty much the same sort of thing. And by the time they took me to the airport, at the end of it, I got to the airport, I sat on the aeroplane. I just burst into tears. It's like, it was awful. And I sobbed into my scarf. I can't really explain. I felt I'd been violated. And I just had my scarf, and I just cried for like an hour into my scarf, sobbing. And it was like, right, that's it. Chucked it away. I threw away my bloody scarf. But for like 10 years, I flew everywhere with a scarf. I found it very versatile. But yeah, I got ruined by...
Do you remember where you got it from?
It was a present for my wife.
Was it silk, or what was it made
of?
Yeah,
it was a blue silk scarf. It was a really nice light blue scarf with dark blue stripes in, and white stripes. And it was just, it was lovely and soft and cozy. And, you know, I'd wear it and it would make me look fashionable instantly. Because it's unusual for men to wear scarves anyway. But I mean, secretly, it was like this really versatile thing for traveling. But it also, you know, for all the reasons practically, but it was, you could just be wearing something and just look dressed straight away. And I love that. I loved it about it. But I totally ruined it with, I wasn't with snot and tears. Yeah, snot and tears and like bad memories then. And like, I thought, you know, I thought I was like, literally, I'm never doing that ever again.
But my angel, let's get on to your birthday suit now. Is there anything particular that you would wear for a special occasion?
So I spent a reasonably large amount of money recently on clothes because I realised that, you know, if I don't wear the right stuff, I look fat and I look older. And I think that I've pretty much got a really even wardrobe of blue. My special outfit is blue. And almost everything I wear is blue. I know it's very boring. I ought to get away from it. But if I wear any other colour for a while and then go and wear blue again, people say, oh, you lost weight. And it's not. I've been the same fat git for 18 years, exactly the same weight. But people love to say, you've lost weight. And it's, and I realise it's when I wear blue. So I have everything. I mean, I almost everything is blue. But I don't think I have anything really special except for maybe one velvet jacket, which I try really hard not to wear, because even though I love it, if I wear it every day, it would be like all my other clothes are special. As in, like, I've got beautiful bespoke suits from a guy, Arbiter Bespoke in London, which is it's just one guy on Savile Row. If you're going to buy bespoke for somebody, you've got to get it from the master. And this guy cuts it himself. And that attention to detail, it makes me feel thin. So I've got some nice Arbiter Bespoke suits that I love wearing. I buy loads of Hugo Boss, which is really boring, but I like Hugo Boss stuff. I've got one velvet, beautiful velvet jacket that I think, yeah, if I'm not careful, I'd literally wear it every day. So I pull it out like once or twice a year. Otherwise, it's not special.
Okay, yeah, I can understand that. And then is there a bit of advice? What's your best bit of advice that you'd give someone going to buy a new pair of glasses? Apart from come to you.
No, look, the thing is, my glasses are reasonably expensive and it's not about how much money you spend. Mm. The most important thing is take the time. The worst thing you can do is walk out the optician after having your eye test and then, you know, buy something because, you know, at the end of the day, the optician's job is to make money, not necessarily, you know, test your eyes. You know, it's not going to the hospital. But people walk out having had a medical test and then into a retail environment and end up buying something. And more often than not, they walk out with something they don't like. And they spend 2 years hating them because they slip down their nose and pinch their head. So the most important thing you can do is take your time. Take someone with you. You know, you want to balance the power between you and the optician. You want someone there with you who's going to say yes or no with you on your side. And you've got to take your time and invest in the shopping. You know, the average time people spend choosing their eyewear is 20 minutes for something that will define them for 2 or 3 years. It's absolutely bonkers. So take your time when you're choosing glasses. Maybe take someone with you. And I think as a secondary tip, don't buy one frame. Otherwise, you're going to buy brown and wear it because it goes with everything. So try and buy a bit of colour. Try and buy a bit of thin, lightweight, comfortable, and try and buy something a little bit bold. You need three frames. You've got to have three frames. You've got to have the kick-ass frame, something comfortable and easygoing, and something with a bit of colour. And if it's a man, wear blue glasses, because if you've got a man, everyone wears jeans. Every man looks good in blue. And if you're a lady, go for your lip tone and your eye colour, and you will never go wrong. And so just make sure you take your time and buy three frames. Simple.
That's such good advice. And then also, if you haven't got a friend to go with you, is to take a selfie and then look at the picture and see how you look in a picture as well. Do you think that helps?
Selfies help because if you get them to take a photo, if you take a photo straight on, it's going to look a passport photo and you're going to hate them. So everyone knows how to photograph themselves these days. You know, you're sort of a three-quarter angle. It's going to be flattering. Take the selfie. And if you can't sell it on the selfie, don't buy it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Tom, you are a genius. You know, you're amazing. And I'm so pleased we had this chat because you deserve to go even more stratospheric than you are. I love your enthusiasm. I love your glasses. And, yeah, let's put posters out saying Cruella glasses missing, reward for whoever finds them.
Yeah, good idea. Well, thanks very much for inviting me on. It was an absolute pleasure to meet your glasses, and thanks for thinking of me.
Mwah. Oh, thanks, Tom. Isn't he bloody brilliant? You can find him on his website at tdtomdavis.com, at tdtomdavis on Instagram and Twitter, and at Tom Davis Bespoke on Facebook. Right, before we go, drop us a line by emailing help@myawardmail.com, as we love hearing from you. Find us at myawardmail.com, follow us at myawardmail, and please show us some love by subscribing, rating, and reviewing us on your chosen podcast platform. And while you're at it, you can find our house band duo at duoguitarmusic.com or at duoguitarmusic on your socials, or rather their socials. That's it. Thanks so much again to Tom, to Duo, and of course, thanks to you for listening. Catch up soon. Until then, my wardrobe is officially closed.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.